Good evening, folks. Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast, episode 15. Saturday, December 22nd, 2018. Tonight on the podcast we have my RPG Week in Review, D&D Celebrity Interviews, Dumbass Metalhead DM Tricks of the Trade.
Wow, dude gives up podcasting for a few months and then he comes back and he's throwing out jabs. Just kidding, buddy. Good to hear you back on the old mics. And sounds like you're enjoying your Gloomberg campaign. It sounds kind of gloomy, like the Midlands, so that fits in well. And yeah, dude, second edition priest. Sweet. Enjoy. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jason Hobbs of Random Screed and Hobbs and Friends of the... Oh, no, it's not OSR anymore, is it? I think it's just Hobbs and Friends. Or is it still Hobbs and Friends of the OSR? I don't know. I forget. But at any rate, thank you for the call, Jason. Yeah. I don't know if I'm throwing jabs or not. I just try to have fun, and I'm a bit of a sarcastic twit, as you've experienced numerous times. That's just kind of my thing. Yeah, it's all in good fun, which you take it the right way. It's just always remember I wouldn't make fun of anybody if I didn't actually like them and respect them. I'm kind of a sick, twisted bastard like that. But, yeah, you gotta know that if you call Matarai out on your show, man, don't be surprised if our dance moves get a little hot. Cheers, buddy. My RPG Week in Review. So let's see. So this past week, my home game was canceled again. Work's been kicking my ass recently. Towards the end of the year, there's a lot of shit going on, and Tuesday was just not a good day for me. So we ended up canceling the home game, and we're going to pick things up fresh in the BX Gloomberg campaign in the new year. Other than that, on Thursday, I did actually manage to play with the Prolg Parlayers, and this was a continuation of the Barrow, which I had run the week previous. The Tomb of Crud the Magnificent, an orc warlord. We had not all of the Prolg Parlayers, but a few of them. We had Matt Jackson, who's normally the DM for the Prolg Parlayers, he was playing, and Tim Shorts, of course, of Gothridge Manor fame. He was playing as well, and we had Mark Hunt. So those three dudes were playing. So they continued the exploration of Crud's tomb. They discovered some more shit beetles, which is kind of a very immature creation of mine, inspired by my experiences of dealing with an infant baby. These shit beetles, they're basically like oil beetles from Basic and Expert, but souped up a little bit. Souped up, what a strange term to use, but anyway, beefed up a little bit, maybe better term. They instead of burning oil, they spew burning diarrhea vomit. So, yeah, anyway, they got to encounter some of the shit beetles. They also encountered, they discovered a crypt with some of Crud the Magnificent's Lady Orc friends, and they discovered that the room was trapped and there was a gas poison gas trap in there, but it wasn't a save or die trap. It was actually a take damage and lose constitution trap. And Tim's character, Aetius the Mage, who started out with a 5 constitution already, was in he was in poor health to begin with and not very many hit points, ended up losing a couple more points of constitution. So he's like, you know, way worse off than Raceland from, you know, Dragonlance. And, oh, I'm sorry, people. It's an OSR podcast and I'm making Dragon Rants. Yeah. Dragonlance references. Sorry about that. I hope you won't get your skivvies in a bunch. But at any rate, they got out of that. They discovered how to turn the gas trap off before everyone died by losing constitution points. And they discovered, later on, they discovered Crud's actual crypt. And in there was a... Not only was Crud in there, who was kind of like an undead skeleton, white, ghoulish, nasty undead creature. They also discovered a spider scorpion, which was kind of hiding there, and beyond it was kind of a passageway where this spider scorpion was had its lair, and it attacked them. And instead of a poison attack, it had a nasty beetle swarm breath attack. And I believe Rashid was killed, the halfling, that's Mark Hunt's character, by that creature, and had healing potions stuffed down his throat and managed to survive. Anyway, I don't want to go room by room, but it was good fun. One of the funnest parts actually was they discovered it's a magical treasure in Crud's tomb after they ended up luring Crud out and defeating him and all kinds of stuff that happened like that. And they found a magical shield. So the halfling, Rashid, decided he was going to use the shield. And he encouraged Matt's character. Matt was playing Lady Morda, a cleric of... I forget the name of the god, Matt. My apologies. So Rashid the halfling gets the shield and says, Lady Morda, you know, try and hit me. I want to see how good the shield is, how well it protects me. And unbeknownst to the players, the shield was actually a cursed shield. So it gave -2 to the halfling's armor class. And as Lady Morda swung with her mace towards Rashid, she rolled a good, Matt rolled good on his attack roll too. Or he rolled well on his attack roll, sorry. So the shield moved out of the way and poor Rashid took the full brunt of the mace attack and he died. So Lady Morda killed Rashid, the fellow party member, as they were testing out a magic item. How fucking cool is that, eh? But again, there were some healing potions to be had and they were stuffed down Rashid's throat, and he actually lived to fight another day. So that was the prologue game. Yeah, it was good fun. The guys got it was nice to fill in while Matt was unable to DM, and he was unable to DM the week before, and then we decided to continue this tomb this week. So next week it'll be back to Matt the DM again. So that was my week in review, motherfuckers. The Dungeons and Dragons interviews.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evil.
Well, my devoted listeners, tonight we have a very special guest on the Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dungeons & Dragons fan. He's rich, he's famous, he was the Governator, he was the Terminator. Welcome to the program, Arnold.
Ah, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited to talk about one of my favorite pastimes, Dungeons & Dragons.
When did you first play Dungeons & Dragons?
I first started playing Dungeons & Dragons in 1972, right after my 27th Mr. Olympia.
Wow, so you really started playing the game early, even before it was released.
Yeah, so? What's your fucking point?
How did Dungeons & Dragons help you in your life, Arnold? Did it do anything important for you while you were a young, struggling person, trying to find your way in this world?
For me, life is continuously being hungry. The meaning of life is not simply to exist, to survive, but to move ahead, to go up, to achieve, to conquer, to gain name level.
So, Arnold, there were a lot of other games back in the day, other than Dungeons & Dragons, that were very influential and were kind of popular. It's games like The Fantasy Trip, and Rollmaster, and GURPS.
GURPS is for babies. When you grow up, you want to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay, moving right along. What is your favorite type of character to play, Arnold?
The worst thing I can be is the same as everybody else. I hate that. That's why I'm going to play a bard. D&D helped me to become a better actor. When I was preparing for the role of Conan the Barbarian, I played 13 hours of D&D on the set every day. Yeah, drove everyone fucking nuts. Especially when I would throw my dice when they didn't roll in my favor. But I knew that goddamn fucking DM John Milius. I knew he was cheating. He was fudging the rolls. Yeah, the guy who played the thief, he was a bit of a loser surfer. But, he was able to find lots of pot, so he smoked that and did lots of bong hits.
So, Arnold, is there anything else about kind of the literature behind Dungeons and Dragons that you like? The Appendix N stuff?
Yeah. Why didn't you be asking me about Mars? Do you not think I know anything about Barsoom? You think I'm some kind of fucking plebe? I don't read Edgar Rice Burroughs? Fuck you!
Hey Arnold, what is your favorite character generation method?
Strength did not come from winning. Your struggles develop your strengths. When you go through hardships and decide not to surrender, that is strength. Oh, you mean when you roll a character? 3d6 in order. Drop the lowest.
Okay, Arnold, I'm sure a lot of people are dying to know. What is your basic strategy towards combat in Dungeons & Dragons?
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
You didn't happen to bring any of your characters with you, did you, Arnold?
I'll be back. I forgot my character sheet. I'll be back. What's that? I think I left it in the nanny's satchel.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention to us tonight about your love of Dungeons & Dragons, Arnold?
The best activities for your health are pumping and humping and playing Dungeons & Dragons. I think that gay marriage should be between a man and a horse. I mean a woman. No, I mean a man.
Yes, Arnold, we're still recording.
What?
Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Arnold. It was a pleasure having you on, and we look forward to the next segment. As quick as we can get it.
Merry fucking Christmas, you asshat podcaster.
Steve's dumbass metalhead tricks of the trade. Dumbass metalhead tricks of the trade. This week we have a twofer. Number one, we have index cards for RPG stuff. Number two, we have tea and coffee stained handouts for your players. Now, index cards for RPG stuff. This is a pretty common one. A lot of people do this. I use index cards for NPCs, for magic items, for monsters, for encounters, for town and village information, and for anything else that needs to be categorized and notes taken for it. Now, I use color-coded index cards. So, like, for example, I will use goldenrod-colored ones for magic items. I've got pink ones for NPC information and different things like that. The color codes, it's easy for me to stick them into a little index card holder. I can see the various colors. I know what sections I'm looking at. Blah, blah, blah. There you go. Now, I use the slightly larger sized index cards, the 4-inch by 6-inch index cards. A lot of people prefer the more traditional 3-inch by 5-inch index cards, but really, doesn't fucking matter. It's the same shit. It all depends on what size you're comfortable writing on. My writing tends to be a little bit larger, so I like the greater surface area for recording information. Now, the great thing about the index cards is portability, for one thing. You can stick them in a little index card holder and you take them with you wherever you go. Today's second dumbass metalhead trick of the trade is using coffee or tea to stain the handouts for your player characters so they look like old pieces of parchment. Now, this is another one that I know a lot of people use. Now, I started using this technique fairly young in my teen years. What you do is you take a cookie sheet or a baking sheet or some kind of glassware thing and you fill it. Well, you don't fill it, but you put in tea or coffee mixture in there and you plop your sheets in there, one or two at a time, depending on the size of your sheet or your baking pan or whatever it is that you got. And you stick them in there for maybe 30 minutes, I found works well, or longer, depending on how dark you want them stained. Take them out of there after a little while, hang them on clothes pegs, or you could put them onto paper towel if you want to do that. The point being that you want to get some of the moisture out of the sheet before you pop it in the oven. Now, what you'll do, you know, obviously you don't want Fahrenheit, you know, 451 action happening. So you put them in the oven on the lowest temperature for your oven. You know, typically you're going to get like 170 to 200 degrees, something like that, Fahrenheit. Basically, and bake them until they dry. And then you can take it out and then you can write on it. You can even run them through a printer. I've done that before. But you probably don't want to soak them for as long or get them as brittle if you're doing that, obviously. But it can be done. Another interesting trick that you can do with this is if you want to make it look like it's somebody tried to destroy the document, you can take a lighter to it and you can burn around the edges of it. So it'll be a nice stained sheet of parchment with a little bit of burnt edges. So it just adds a little bit of coolness factor to a handout that you're giving to the players. And of course you can, if you are able to run it through your printer, you can use whatever kind of funky font you want, your wonderful hand scripted fonts that you got for your word processor programs or whatever the fuck it is that you use to edit up your RPG documents. So there you have it. Index cards for RPG stuff and tea and coffee stained handouts for your games. So this is the last podcast before the end of the year. Or maybe I'll squeeze another one in just before New Year's Eve, but we'll see. But in any event, I would like to thank each and every one of you for listening to my silly, stupid, incredibly immature and unprofessional Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast. I really appreciate everybody who spends their time listening to this stuff. I know how pressed for time everybody is and how much we have to occupy our mental spaces these days in this busy world that we live in. So thank you, everyone. Have yourselves a wonderful holiday season or a Merry Christmas, depending on which holidays you celebrate. And hopefully you all have a wonderful and happy New Year as well. We'll see you soon. Thanks, everybody.